You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
Welcome you back. The second half of the show is live. John Talty will be joining us in a couple of minutes, and we'll get more of your phone calls as well. We are now 4 hours and 20 minutes from the tip-off to tonight's Baylor-Gonzaga game. Let's get back to the calls and speak to John, who is up next in South Carolina. Hello, John.
Hey, Paul. Long-time caller or long-time listener, first-time caller.
Wonderful.
I was just wondering what you thought about Georgia's defense this year with that West Virginia transfer, Smith. I wonder what you thought about that.
Well, I think it's a good move. I'm glad he's signed up. I think Georgia needs to shore that defense up with so many not defections, but players drafted over the last 2 years. I thought it was interesting when we talked to Chip Towers. With the Pickens injury, how I'm starting to hear a little nervousness coming from some people around Georgia connected to in relation to the Bulldogs' chances of winning it all. What about you?
Yeah, I got to be honest. I'm a big homer, but I think the Dogs are looking good. I don't know with Pickens going down. I was just wondering if you thought Smith would be kind of balance that out and
John, I don't think there is a straight apples to apples replacement for George Pickens. I think he was as good as it gets.
I think you're right.
But let me also say this. There were some people in my industry who said when Waddle went down for Alabama that the Tide had no chance of winning the national championship. And at the time, Devontae Smith was a really good player. He became a Heisman Trophy winner.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think we're gonna have a good team this year. And go Dogs.
Good to hear from you. Thank you very, very much. Let's go to Chris next in Alabama. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Paul, this is Chris in Alabama.
Wonderful. Good to hear from you.
By way of the great state of Michigan.
I hear you.
Hey, I was curious as to your take. I haven't yet heard any specialists in your category give a take on the Paul Pierce issue.
Yeah, and I feel fairly ignorant asking you this because I saw an article yesterday where a bunch of indiscretions were listed, and he was in there, and I still don't know what he did. What happened?
Well, it seemed as if from the video, he was indeed at a poker game. However, there were said indiscretions present, along with, his other personal issues with him being married and having a child or children. I'm not sure. But that also... And also, not to put too much of the spotlight on Mr. Pierce, also, how much patience do you think that the Michigan Wolverines will have with Mr. Harbaugh?
Chris, what else? I don't know if anyone has ever had more patience with a coach. I would have fired him last year. What is another year going to prove? And I know I've already heard from some of my Michigan friends. I live near a Michigan graduate, so I hear more about it than I really want to. Thinking about moving, by the way, as a result of that. And he's telling me how great the recruiting has gone. He's got a bunch of new coaches. I mean, what are we now in year 6 of the Harbaugh experiment?
Well, me personally, I gave him a pass for last year.
What about the previous 4 years?
I gave him a pass on those years as well.
I mean, Chris, what is? Hey, let me ask you a question, Chris. If Jim Harbaugh had graduated from Southern Cal instead of Michigan, would he still would he still be there?
I already know. The answer is no.
Well, you should not allow blind loyalty to affect your football program.
I concur.
Okay, well, but do you really? Let's continue. Dan is up next in South Carolina. Hello, Dan. Go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. How are you?
I am well. Thank you.
Good, good. I got a hypothetical question, and so hopefully you can answer here. 8%, I think roughly 8% of the players in Major League Baseball are African-American. And yet baseball made this determination to move the All-Star game away from Atlanta because of the perceived issues related to the voting situation. In the SEC in football, a huge percentage of those players are African-American. And I'm wondering if you think that there will pressure will come to bear on Greg Sankey to make a similar decision with regard to the SEC championship game.
Dan, without having spoken to him or anyone connected to him, my gut reaction or gut answer would be no. And that is not to suggest that anyone connected to the league or any reasonable person is endorsing restrictions or serious or serious clamps on any race, creed, or color. But yeah, I think it's still yet to be determined exactly what this legislation does. I mean, I think sometimes things are very clear. I don't think this one is clear, and that's not a political statement. That's someone who has listened to a lot of analysts discuss it without, this is not a clear-cut case. And I saw where the PGA Tour said they're not going to pull the Tour Championship out of Atlanta. Obviously, the Masters runs its own. Yeah, the Masters is its own entity, Augusta National. But I don't know. I mean, I'm willing to put $5 on that. It tees off Thursday morning, so I don't think anyone else is going to follow suit. I think Major League Baseball got heavily influenced by some of its boneheaded moves of the past, and I think they tried to make a statement here. And I don't think anyone else is going to follow them.
Yeah, I think they were very hasty, and I do agree with you that there is still quite a bit that needs to play out in terms of how this legislation is interpreted and enacted. And I think baseball just looks even more foolish than they already have been, and they are just
Without getting too political, Dan. And I will say this, I've spent a lot of time in Atlanta, and as many of us have, and I mean, this is a progressive city. This is not, and it's one thing to talk about the Jim Crow of this, legislation. And I realize that, Atlanta is in the state of Georgia. It's the capital, but we all know there's a different political makeup, and I think that would be the understatement of the century.
Yeah, and I'm going to be interested to see when the economists start to tally the amount, not only the amount of lost revenue to the overall economy, but even the lost revenue to minority-owned businesses.
Right. No, I totally agree with you.
In that area, which is going to be crippling.
Yeah, unfortunately, all of this is reactionary, and I understand why the legislation occurred. Anyone who follows politics understands what happened in Georgia.
Sure,
it doesn't make it right or wrong. It just makes it a political issue, and I thought we had moved on from that, but clearly we haven't. And I really hate it for the Braves fans, and especially for those who were going to honor such a beautiful honor of Henry Aaron. I mean, it's just, I read today. Did I read today that that Marco Rubio was calling out Rob Manfred for being a member of Augusta? I think I just saw that story. But
wow, man!
I wonder if he's there this week.
Yeah, interesting. Well, it's such a complicated issue, and everybody's just, you know, got the knee jerk reaction. And I do hope if in fact Commissioner Sankey is forced to deal with something on that level, that he is level-headed and that he holds to the courage of his convictions regardless of what his decision is.
Greg Sankey was very out front on the Mississippi flag, but the Mississippi flag is a different situation, and I don't, nobody wants to go through it again, but sometimes things just have to change. And that's fine. This one, I'm shaking my head about it. Hey, thank you for the call. I tell you, we'll ask our next guest about that because he covers the SEC more closely than anyone. John Talty joining us next from AL.com. We are coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we welcome you back here on a Monday afternoon. We're exactly 4 hours away from the national championship game beginning. And we'll talk a little bit more about that later on. John Talty joining us from AL.com, the senior sports editor. So many topics to talk to John about. And John, I hate to throw this at you, but a caller just asked me, and you have such close proximity to the SEC and have done such great reporting about the league. And there may not even be an answer, but in the wake of Major League Baseball pulling the All-Star game out of Atlanta, the caller just asked me, and I didn't know the answer, if I thought or anyone thinks there'll be pressure on the SEC to leave Atlanta, where the SEC title game has been, what, since 1994?
Yeah, Paul, first off, you know, good to see you again. I think to answer that question, at least to this point, I have not gotten any sense that there is major pressure on the SEC to do so. I think it made natural sense that after Major League Baseball made its decision, you think, okay, what are some other big events that are going to be happening in Atlanta? And certainly the SEC Championship is one of the big ones. And so, I think it's natural to ask that question. And we have seen, the SEC, specifically Commissioner Greg Sankey, get involved in the past. We saw that last year with the Mississippi flag debate. But to this point, I don't get a sense of major pressure to the SEC Championship. I haven't heard of any major plans underway for them to move the game out of next year. Certainly, they have a longstanding commitment in Atlanta. It's been a very successful game for a long time. So, I think it'll be interesting to watch for the coming months to see, A, whether there's pressure that ratchets up at all. And then B, the other thing is whether we see any changes, for the actual laws itself, whether if there's more and more pressure on, Georgia lawmakers, about potentially losing events, whether they face pressure to possibly change the law they just signed.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul.
Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Talking to John Talty, and John, I'm glad you said that because I really don't think it's an issue, but figured you would know if it was. What is an issue right now is the news that continues to come out of Baton Rouge. We talked to Andrea Gallo earlier, who with Brooks Kamina has been covering that story as well as the team from USA Today. As we stand now, we don't know whether Ogeron is going to testify. He might be able to send a statement ahead. But you know, where is this, and does it pose any trouble down the road for Coach O?
It's a big question, and I think one of the things that we continue, when you look at kind of a 30,000 foot look at this, I think the thing that amazes people is really the fact that all of these people who have essentially lost their jobs, not at LSU, people who were involved in this, most recently, Oregon State President F. Alexander, stepping down over this. And we really haven't seen that many actual major ramifications within LSU. Some people got suspended. There's been some, stripping some people of responsibilities, but we haven't really seen that kind of big major thing yet. Certainly, with Coach O, that's a question that you're going to continue to wonder on. It seemed like from a lot of the early reporting, more of it was on the Les Miles era than Coach O. Certainly, with Darius Geis, there are some major disturbing issues there that, as you hit on, The Advocate and USA Today have done a great job covering. So I think that is kind of one of the big questions, Baton Rouge is, does this start to impact Ogeron more? And I think, one of the things that you and I have talked about in the past on this show is just, kind of the expectations that Coach O is going to be heading into this year, after the struggles they had last year. And so it's one of those things that you see sometimes, guys get fired pretty fast if there's other stuff going on. And so I do think the fact that this continues to linger over the program could be an extra thing that is weighed, if they struggle again next year as to whether, Ed Ogeron is going to be the coach for the long term in Baton Rouge.
Talking to John Talty, and John, let me get to Alabama for a second because Alabama won the national championship and then we all just move on and start getting ready for the next one. It seems from reading your publication and others that things are moving fairly well, even with a couple of new coordinators. Bryce Young, by all accounts, had a big day on either Friday or Saturday, whenever the scrimmage was. What are you hearing from Tuscaloosa?
Yeah, people are very excited about Bryce Young. Had a very strong showing over the weekend, four touchdowns. From all the accounts that we heard, and my colleague Matt Zenitz did a good job of kind of a rundown of some of what happened. Had a very strong day. And as he's already started to impress, during what's really his first spring practice, because he didn't get a chance to, last year. I think back to a conversation that I had with Gary Danielson, before the national championship game. He and I were talking about Mac Jones, and he told me he thought no player in the country benefited more from there not being spring practice last year than Mac Jones. And the reason why is because everybody knew Bryce Young was going to come in and light it up. This is a guy who came in very highly regarded. Just the way Nick Saban talked about him after he signed was kind of a special level of hype and admiration for him. And so they, there was a strong likelihood that, Bryce was going to push Mac if he had an opportunity. The spring, he was going to push him hard and then maybe use some of that momentum head into fall camp. Obviously, that didn't happen. Mac was the guy from the get-go, had a great fall camp, and had an incredible year to the point where people are talking about him as a top five NFL draft pick. But I just think it speaks to, Bryce Young is a very talented guy, and I think he would have had a shot, last year if he had his spring practice. He didn't, and now that he is finally getting his first one, he's already showing people that, he's a very talented guy who's probably put on a show this year.
And finally, John, before you go, we learned last week the SEC is not having its typical meeting in Destin this year, where I'm sure NIL would have been one of the big topics. It seems like it's the biggest topic everywhere beyond the field or the hard court. as you talk to people and you talk to athletic directors and coaches and people associated, what is your sense of where this is going?
Well, there's a couple different areas. And so let's start with, you know, a week ago, and we see this is outside the SEC, but you see Roy Williams retire. And, you know, I think there's some different reasons that allegedly why he retired, but one of them seemed to be kind of just upset at the way that things were headed. I mean, you maybe take it back, you know, 4 or 5 months from that, and there's rumors of Dan Mullen being interested in the NFL. And one of the reasons that I heard and other people heard was that, you know, he didn't like the way that the game was kind of trending with NIL, transfer portal, all those different things. And so I think from you look at the coaching side of things, that's going to be, I think, what you're going to see more and more is you might see some of the best college basketball coaches and the best college football coaches reach a certain point where they say, I don't feel like dealing with the transfer portal where everybody gets a free year and NIL dealing with, you know, all those different issues. You know, I think back, and I don't think this would ever happen, but, you know, I imagine my, you know, the scenario of, you know, Coach Saban asking around, all right, you know, where's Bryce Young today? Oh, and he's shooting a commercial for the local, you know, automobile sales guy. And I just could see Coach Saban being furious about that. And that's something that, you know, all these coaches are going to have to deal with going forward is, you know, these marketing deals and stuff like that, ways that, you know, these players, rightfully, in my opinion, are able to cash in on their value. But it's going to create challenges for all these coaches who are used to things a certain way. So I think we all know it's headed a certain path. What the actual terms are, the deals, you know, I don't think anybody knows that yet. There's obviously, you know, each state seems to have their own interpretation of things. We have seen that the NCAA has really shown no real ability to figure it out. They've tried to pass it off on to pretty much everybody, including Congress. And so, you know, I don't know if we know what the exact final terms will be, but I think we know the broad strokes are headed a certain path. And I think it's a path that you're going to see coaches complain a lot about in the next, you know, coming years.
John Talty from AL.com joining us. We appreciate it as always. Thank you, John. Great to have you on. And we will take a short break here. Much more to come as we roll on. More of your phone calls, Andrea Adelson, in the final hour. We're coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we welcome you back. It's so great to have all of you here on this Monday afternoon. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. And let's check in with Bill, who is in Tennessee. Good afternoon, Bill.
How are you, Paul?
Bill, I'm wonderful. Thank you.
Listen, Senator Marco Rubio has sent a letter to Major League Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred asking Manfred if he would give up his membership now at the exclusive Augusta National Golf Club in the, you know, in the wake of the league's decision to pull the 2021 All-Star Game. Quote, I write to ask you whether you intend to maintain your membership at Augusta National. As you are well aware, the exclusive members-only club is located in the state of Georgia. What do you think?
Well, I tell you what, whether you agree or disagree with Marco Rubio's politics, it's a pretty stinging rebuke. And I would be willing to bet you, and having covered that tournament 20 times, and members are usually required to be there. I'm willing to bet he's not there this week. What do you think?
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm also willing to bet he's not going to give up his membership.
Well, oh, there's no question.
I know.
There's no question.
You know how hard it is to get into Augusta National.
Yes, I do. Well, I don't, but I've read enough books about it. Yes.
Yeah. Well, Rubio also said, quote, I am, of course, under no expectation any of this will happen. So it is kind of an hypocrisy to pull the game because of the new voting laws and then keep your membership in a Augusta, Georgia.
Well, no, you're right.
Golf club.
I once covered a story many years ago about another golf club that was hosting a major championship, and it came out that the founder of the club made a terribly unfortunate remark, and he, they nearly lost the tournament. And my former editor at the time was the editor in Pittsburgh, and he wrote this editorial just, you know, talking about how bigoted the club was and how it shouldn't, the PGA Championship shouldn't stay there. And I called him to do an interview, and he said, what are you so upset about? I said, well, I remember when you were the editor of the newspaper and I was in your employ, you belonged to a club in the city that also did not have black membership. I don't remember you talking about it then. And I think he hung up on me.
Were you surprised?
No, I was not, but I felt better doing it.
I bet you did. Well, I just thought it would, it was not, I didn't know that the Manfred was a member of that club.
No, I did not either. That was one of my favorite things about when I used to cover the tournament, Bill. You would walk in, I think the main door that led into the dining room, and they had a list of, it said members present. And it was the only time that you could ever, you know, get a good handle on the membership. And the names on that list, certainly there are a lot of predictable names. And I did a documentary for at the SEC a couple of years ago on Billy Payne. So I got a pretty good indoctrination into Augusta. He was the former chairman. But Warren Buffett's name was on that list. Bill Gates. I mean, it was quite extraordinary, but I did not know Rob Manfred was a member.
Well, I didn't either until Rubio came out with this, but I'm sure he knows what he's talking about.
I would say that you don't make that kind of allegation without checking it out.
Well, it just seemed like a great story. And
it is.
Of course, Manfred has not replied, and I doubt he will.
I guarantee you he won't. Hey,
there was also some.
Yeah, and one thing about Augusta memberships. That is not a group that talks about its membership. I remember we were interviewing Billy Payne at the Billy Payne Football Center in Athens, and you know he had let us know. We spent a couple hours with him, and he was more than willing to talk about the Olympics in Atlanta, his days at Georgia, the Dogs present. But when we got to his chairmanship at Augusta, it was one of the toughest interviews of my career. It was difficult to get him to acknowledge anything. And then when I asked him something about the current, he would not discuss anything about Augusta, saying that's up to the current chairman. I mean, you're not talking about a democracy over there. Let's continue with more phone calls here. And Bert is up next. Hey, Bert, go right ahead.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, SAVE. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, SAVE. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Paul, how are you?
I'm well. Thank you
for taking my call.
Of course.
I'm concerned about this situation with the baseball commissioner, and I would like to know if somebody could do a deep dive when this game is assigned to a city and find out what connections the commissioner has to that city and what connection his inner sanctum has to that city. I feel like something's wrong here. The people of Georgia being mistreated. This law isn't all that bad, and I've lived all around this country, Chicago, Tennessee, now in Alabama, Florida, and good people are being hurt, and I think this commissioner needs to be checked out, and I'd like to know when they assign this to another city, if some good people like you could dig in and see the connections he might have to that city. That's all I have to say. Thank you,
Bert. Yeah, I don't know, and I'm not really 100% sure. I believe that the All-Star Game is something that you have to want, you have to bid on, but it does rotate. I think there's always pressure to give a city that has a new stadium an All-Star Game. I think sometimes that is part of the finagling of to get franchises to, you know, tear down an old stadium. In this case, it wasn't that old in Atlanta, but things are outdated pretty quickly in professional sports these days. Let's get to more calls and talk next to Jason, who is in Arizona. Hey, Jason, go right ahead.
Paul, I see on your tweets, it says Alabama football, welcome to Tuscaloosa, Coach Svoboda. I don't know anything about this. Can you explain this? And also, you said Alabama has two new coordinators. I only know about one, Bill O'Brien.
Yeah, no.
Can you fill me in?
I can fill you in that I was incorrect when I said that. You're 100% correct on that. Pete Golding is still the defensive coordinator. So I was thinking of Bill primarily. I don't know why I said that, but
Who's Coach Svoboda?
I am going to have to find that out. I just we will get you an answer on that. I don't know. He must be a new coach at Alabama.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you. Yeah. That phone call would come under a dissatisfied customer, because I don't think I had any answers for him that suited him. I didn't know who Coach Svoboda was, and I was incorrect about the previous comment. Let's see if I can help somebody out here and get something right. Tom is up next in Ohio. Hello, Tom.
Oh, hey, Paul.
Hey there. Good afternoon.
Hey, don't you think this NIL deal and recruiting are going to eventually change the landscape some?
I do, Tom. I absolutely do. And it is going to, it depends on how, it's going to change it, number one. It depends on how the legislation is disseminated, whether it's state by state, which I don't think it will be, or universal, which will mean Congress will get involved and try to, you know, make it fair and equitable. But it's a real problem, and but it's coming, and we've known it's coming for some time.
Yeah, you know, I really do see where the larger metropolitan areas and the schools thereof could benefit.
Well, not only that, we had a guest earlier who said, you know, it was Ralph Russo. He said, you know, would you rather be the number 15 player on Alabama's team or the number one player somewhere else? And you know, I don't think that is going to be the issue. Because I'm not sure you're going to be able to know precisely what your value is going to be until you get to a school. I think the big schools are going to be the winners. But there may be some outliers. I mean, there are certain schools where, let's say, lacrosse or hockey or wrestling or gymnastics or softball is extremely important. So it may affect the recruiting of that. But in the major sports, and we're talking primarily football and basketball, I think the blue bloods are going to get richer.
Okay, thanks for your time, Paul.
Thank you very much for calling. We will take a break. Andrea Adelson, a little bit later on. More of your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hey, we welcome you back. Great to have you here. Andrea Adelson around the corner, and to the caller from Phoenix asking about Coach Svoboda at the University of Alabama. He is the special teams coach. That was announced over the weekend. Let's get back to the calls. And Gary is in Sacramento, and you are on the air. Hello, Gary.
Hi, Paul. How you doing?
I'm well. Thank you.
So I normally just like to listen. I love what you guys have to say. I love most of your callers. But I called in because a couple calls ago, a gentleman was talking, and I understand it. upset about losing the All-Star game in Atlanta, but he said, kind of offhanded, the law isn't that bad. The law is heinous. And your listeners can't be left with the impression that the commissioner of baseball did something terrible or has some backhanded, like, money coming his way. The law in Georgia is aimed at African-American neighborhoods. It is so ridiculous. You can be arrested for giving somebody in line a bottle of water. This is how paranoid...
Yeah, but Gary, I agree. I understand that, and I've heard people talk about that, but... Yeah, and what we're talking about here is not somebody who is passing out. We're talking about campaign officials. Am I correct?
No, we're talking about state legislators.
No. I'm talking about, let's say someone is online for 3 hours on a hot day and they're about to pass out and somebody gives them a bottle of water. I seriously doubt they're going to be prosecuted. We're talking about interference from campaign workers.
The law actually says you can be arrested.
Well, I got news for you, Gary. The law of most states say you can be arrested for things that you may have done last night. I doubt you're going to be, though.
No, but the point is this. No one wants to. There are a lot of arbitrary big sporting events and other things. If enough of them are taken away from craven legislators who are just would rather cheat than win, then they're the people in the state will elect better people. That's the whole point of it.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a win-win. The company or the sport gets to do the
But Gary, I am not going to debate you because I am not qualified, but I've read qualified people who will dispute some of the things that you have said. So everyone can have a political opinion, and that doesn't make any of them right. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Let's check out. Who we got here? J.R. is up next in Florida. Hello, J.R.
Paul, how are you?
I'm well.
Well, after that call, I hope you'll be doing better. You did a nice job.
Well,
Gary's dead wrong. I work in the political world, and
okay.
He's just dead wrong. But that's not why I called. But go ahead.
My argument is there is no clear-cut answer on this issue. If you take the political rhetoric out of it, you can interpret anything you want on any piece of legislation. You know that.
Amen. You're absolutely right. Paul, I don't get to listen to you as much as I would like because I work in the Eastern time zone, so I'm usually at work. But I did want to call in because tonight is a momentous occasion in sports history, and that is the National Basketball Championship between Gonzaga and Baylor. And I'll tell you why. Obviously, you live and work in SEC and ACC country, and SEC fans and ACC fans should be jubilant about tonight. If we look back in brief history to last summer, okay, and I want to take you back there just for a second, if you will allow me. The SEC and the ACC said last summer that they were going to play football. The Pac-12 and the Big Ten at that point had already said they were not going to play football, and the national media went bonkers, calling us hayseeds and Southerners. They don't care about their kids. All they care about is sports and money, and, you know, they can hardly floss their teeth. They went absolutely bonkers. And what was and I'm looking at Dennis Dodd, Pat Forty, and Christine Brennan. Christine Brennan and that those three, and that's what I want to focus on. So I'm hopefully they'll write you an apology letter. What was hanging in the balance was Commissioner Bowles at the Big 12 at that moment. Had the Big 12 decided not to play, I think the pressure would have been incredibly immense on the ACC and the SEC to not play. But the Big 12 and Commissioner Bowles said they would play, and then, boom, the momentum changed. Here came the students and players in the Big 10 protesting. Then the Big 10 decides to play. Then the Pac-12 decides to play.
JR, my deepest my apologies. We're literally running out of time here. I'd love to continue this another time. Please call back, and thank you for sharing the information. We are heading to a break. Hour three is done.